Hey, everybody, one more good morning from me. I'm Stephanie. I'm the lead pastor here. Thank you for joining us today. A special welcome to anyone who's maybe here for one of the first few times. We're so glad that you're here. Thank you for having the courage to come join our community. We love getting people connected with our mission. And so I was thinking about this question, like what you want to learn more about. I'm a really curious person, so I'd like to learn more about like almost everything. But today, we are finishing up a conversation we've had for 8 months on the Sermon on the Mount. Yes, I know, it's been a long time. Some of you are like, I still want to learn more. I know. You know, we've got that for you. If you go to the blog that we have on the Hub, you can see all the resources for these last 8 months that were kind of like the top resources that we used as we were preaching through all of the Sermon on the Mount. I think it was 21 sermons just to cover Jesus' one sermon.
21.
21, but it's also Jesus, so yep. We could have done 21 additional.
Yes,
of course. If you have not been with us, don't worry about that. Today, as we're finishing up, if you weren't with us during that time, that's okay. Of course, we have all of those sermons recorded as well. But today, we're going to do something special as we kind of finish up, and that is that we are going to read the Sermon on the Mount all the way through. And so if you did not get a copy, a paper copy, when you came in, I'm going to encourage you to have one. So if you don't have one, raise your hand. Randy's down here. And can someone up there grab the ones that are in the door? And over here. Maren's up here. Raise your hand. She'll come around. And we just think it will be helpful for most of you to have it written. But you might want to just listen as well, whatever's helpful for you. But we made a lot of copies, so you might as well have those for you to have them. Now, as they're passing this out, let me just give a little bit of context for the people where you haven't been with us. The Sermon on the Mount is the greatest collection of Jesus' teachings that we have in Matthew 5 through 7. And Jesus covers a lot of topics, as you're going to see here in a minute. And one of the things we need to remember about this sermon is that it was given 2,000 years ago in the first century to a specific group of people. So why we've had all those sermons is in part because we're talking about what it meant then and then helping us understand what it means today. So you might notice as we read it, some of what it means, some of what it sounds like. It's like, whoa, how do we make meaning of that today? First of all, I love that curiosity. You should always stay curious. Let's always ask questions. Second of all, there are some things we can know about what they meant then and what that might mean for us today. So if you have anything that comes up that's a kind of a question for you, that's a good thing. And actually, what we're going to do is we're going to have three different people each read one of the chapters, 5, 6, and 7. And then we're going to have a time to just reflect. And a little bit of space is there. If you have a pen, you can write down some thoughts. And here are your three reflection questions for each time. What stands out to you from this chapter? What questions do you have? And how is the Spirit empowering you to put Jesus' words into practice? We really believe that the Holy Spirit is with us as we listen to God's word. And so this is a tradition that we see throughout Christianity and even beyond in Judaism of just reading these words over people. And Pastor Ashish was saying to me, you know, we always have to be people who lean into those things, though, because it's a little different, right? For some of you, maybe you have been a part of a tradition that just reads scripture and then doesn't give commentary on it. But today that might feel different for some of you. So I'm just going to encourage you to lean into that a little bit as we do this today. And we'll give you this time of reflection with these questions. These are the questions that we use oftentimes outside of the worship service context here at Mill City that we call dwelling in the word, where we just kind of dwell in God's word, make our home in God's word, and allow it to make meaning for us in our lives. And so these are the questions that we use when we are doing that in different contexts. And so today we're going to do that. One final thing, and this is important. Whenever scripture has been read traditionally in our tradition, it's not only about what we hear individually, but how what we hear we bring into conversations with other people in our lives. There's people in our lives that we're close with, people that we want to deepen our relationship with. And so as you're asking these questions and jotting some things down, can I encourage you to think about who a conversation partner might be that you could process this with a little bit? We're not going to be able to have time because of the length of the sermon in this time to talk with people, but would you consider taking it from this place into some of your everyday spaces and talking with others about what comes up for you as you hear this reading? So without further ado, Dr. Leland Eliason is going to do the first chapter, read the first chapter for us, and you can follow along. Or if you want to just listen, you can close your eyes, whatever feels most comfortable for you. Thanks, Lee.
Hear these words of our Lord from Matthew chapter 5.
Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountain and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in that house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to people long ago, "You shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment." But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or a sister, "Raca," is answerable to the court. Now, raca is a heartfelt attitude of cultural harshness, contempt, or resentment that fuels what we say. And anyone who says, "You fool," will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, and then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still on the way together, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, "You shall not commit adultery." But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality makes her a victim of adultery, and anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the good and the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect.
Thanks, Leland. Okay, here's our reflection questions. What stands out to you from this chapter? What questions do you have? And how is the Spirit empowering you to put Jesus' words into practice? We'll give you a few minutes to reflect on that before we move into our next chapter. Thank you.
Careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Thanks, Rachel. Once again, our questions: what stands out to you from this chapter? What questions do you have? And how is the Spirit empowering you to put Jesus' words into practice?
The Old Testament, the name Jehovah Jireh is a name that means God will provide. And so would that name lead us as we continue that time of reflection? Would you sing this with me?
And if he dresses the lilies with beauty and splendor, how much more will he clothe you? How much more will he clothe you? If he watches over every sparrow, how much more does he love you? How much more does he love you? How much more does he love you? How much more? You are Jireh, you are enough. You are enough, and I will be content in every circumstance, for you are Jireh, you are enough.
Matthew 7. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have done, what would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will say to them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teachings, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law.
Thanks, Kevin. So final time of reflection. What stands out to you from this chapter? What questions do you have? And how is the Spirit empowering you to put Jesus' words into practice? We'll give you a couple minutes before we go into our time of communion.